Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome into the house of the Lord. Again today, you're in the right place. What a presence. The praise team is just always wonderful, always on point. Just a blessing to us to lead us into where we need to be as we honor God and prepare our hearts to receive His word. I want to, again, share that our condolences, Frida, Ari, Kyron, all of you, on the loss of Frida's brother, Hartford. We're going to be having a life celebration service actually here. You know, next Saturday, we'll be right here at the church, visitation from 10 to 11, and the service will be from 11 to 12. Please do something to show your love, and there will be a full service on that day and a repast downstairs. So our prayers are with each and every one of you. It just is very mindful that we never know what a day will bring to us. We have to be present with the Lord. And, you know, I've always asked people, are you holding on to God? Are you hanging on to God? And I do that as a trick question. That's not how it's done. That's doing it wrong. I'm not holding on to God. God is holding on to me. Lord, hold me. We have to trust Him in that way. This morning, I'm going to be sharing a message called God Will Do It Again. And the key word here is again. Again, He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And He doesn't change. He can change your situation. He can change your circumstance and help you, give you hope, give you peace, give you joy. But He Himself never changes. You can count on His unchanging word. Every word He says will surely come to pass. And today we're actually, I want to begin by saying this, making this remark. What God did in 1924, what God did in 2004, He will do in 2024 for you and I. What He did for them, He will do for all of us. If you see that He blessed someone, He will bless you also. If you see He healed someone, He will heal you also, because He keeps His word, even when others do not. Sometimes we find it hard to believe that God's going to do something, that God's really going to keep His word, because there are so many people in our lives daily, on the daily, we see that do not keep their word. They give their word forth, and that word is empty and is a false word. But God's word is not a false prophecy. It is a true prophecy and a true word. So I'm going to read what, if you've known me more than 5 minutes, you know that this is my favorite passage of Scripture ever. And I'll let you in on a little secret. Every single time, without fail, when I read this at home, I weep. I weep every single time. I'll get through it today, but not when I'm by myself worshiping God. Psalm 126. When, not if. Let's stop there. We've got the sermon right here. Not when. It's not if, it's when the Lord turned again. There's another word. There's two power words here, when and again. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, which is the church, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongues with singing, like we did today. Then they said among the heathen, the sinners, the Lord has done great things for them. Why are the heathen talking about the Lord? The Lord has done great things for us. Wow, did you catch that? When you read it, you don't read. You have to read the word for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again, twice again now. Turn again captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap with joy. He that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, it's hard to sow in the field, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing His gifts with Him. Let me tell you, that passage is so, so powerful, that what God did once for you, He will do again. So many of us say, I can't ask God again. I can't go to God again with the same thing. Says who? The enemy. He tells you, you can't go to God again. But I'm here to tell you that you can go to God again. Let me break it down for you. If Jesus fed the multitude once, he can do it for another multitude too. If he did it for the church down the street, he will do it for this church right here and the next church. If he healed one blind man, there's at least six cases of Jesus healing the blind in the Bible. He will heal the blind today. If he did it once, he'll do it again. And if he forgave you once, he'll forgive you again and again and again. And I'm going to talk about that and give you a thought today that you've probably never, ever thought of. And we need Jesus. And I want to tell you that we need him on our best day equal to what we need him on our worst day. And I know Frida can say amen to that because, again, you don't know. Frida did not know how she would find her brother when she opened that door the other day. The door you open, you don't always get to know what's inside, what's behind there. And it is good to have Jesus with you when you're going to open the door. It's good to have Jesus when you have to make decisions in wisdom and when you have to face a crisis. And it's good to have Jesus in the party when you're celebrating, if he's not part of your celebration. But God will do for you again and again. And I like that God is our refuge in time of trouble. He is a stronghold. He is always our Savior. He's always our Redeemer. And we see this, how God is such a merciful God. God is such a kind God that even when we blow it, even when we're not who we should be, he's still who he is. Am I right? Let me tell you about the people of Israel. Way back recently, I did a series on Monday night called Holy Moses, and we finished it, and God called these people a stiff-necked people, and sometimes we can be the stiff-necked people that God is talking about. And Moses was their reluctant leader, didn't want to be a leader, but God said, you're going to be a leader. Aaron was their reluctant spokesperson. Welcome Aaron to the tribe. And God delivered them out of captivity, and after he delivered them out of captivity, they kept getting in trouble again and again. You would think they would be just like, thank God for the rest of their life. But that is not how it went down. They had to keep being delivered. They had to keep being forgiven. I would have thought that when they got delivered out of captivity, they would have set up a cross like over there or an altar, built an altar like we could build an altar. But instead, the first thing they did was they made a golden calf to take the place of God. They turned their backs on God. They complained about the Panera bread that God threw out right from heaven every single day, that God dropped it out of the sky. They didn't even have to order at the counter. They murmured about the water shortage. Oh, no, God, we want Avion water. I'm so sorry. We are unhappy today again. And they complained against God. They complained against Moses. And God just had enough of it, but he didn't have enough of them. He loved these people, these stiff-necked people, these complainers, these murmurers. And if that doesn't show you how often he helped them time and time and time again as they faced the consequences and the poison snakes and everything, the consequences of their sin and their transgression, God still loved them and he never turned his back on them and he still had a plan for them and he still had a promised land for them and they still were able to go forward. And if you don't believe in that story, how about going to the book of Hosea? And if you read that, you need to have a box of tissue near as you read the book of Hosea. God will turn your situation around again and again. He's done it. And in that passage, that Psalm 126, here's what it says. It says he will turn again their captivity. That means, the word again means something that was previously done, he will do yet another time. And it says that he will turn their captivity so much so that their neighbors, their co-workers, their shady relatives, all those who live next door, all the haters will see it. They will see it and they will know that it is God that took care of you. And that's how it should be with our lives. God has done great things for us again and again and again. And yet we have become so often the complainers. Life is doing us wrong. We face trials and situations, and we forget that if Jesus healed one leper, he can heal 10. If Jesus forgave one time, he can forgive again and again. We have to go to him. And he will do the impossible on your behalf. Luke 18:27 says, what is impossible with men is possible with God. And I think we need to answer the question every day of our lives, is anything too hard for the Lord? We need to answer it sometimes out loud with a loud no. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. All things are possible. God will do that again. Have you ever been sick more than once in your life? More than twice? More than three times? Then why are you here today? Let me tell you, it's because he healed you again and again and again. God healed you every time. How many messes have you been in your life that you thought, how am I going to get out of this? How many times has God provided when you thought, I can't make the rent this month? No, I can't make it next month. No, I can't make it now. How many times has God come through for you? How many times has he pulled us out of pits that we took a shovel and we dug the pit ourselves? And then God sent us the rope through the cross, the red rope Rahab, when the red rope came down, you know, that's the way we go down and that's the way we go up, is the red rope, is the blood of Jesus. And, you know, there's so many things. I need this verse that says, what is impossible with men is possible with God, for this reason. Sometimes we look to men to help us out again. I'm not looking to God this time. I'm going to try to do it myself. And God will bail you out. I heard this cool story. This dad said, he told his kids, he said, if you ever get locked up, I'm not coming to get you out. And his son got locked up. His son got locked up for a very serious crime and was going to go away for a very long time. And he received Christ. He got saved. He got delivered. And he got out of jail without his dad's help. And someone asked him, said, how did you get out? And he said, it wasn't my dad. It was my father. He said, God got him out and nobody else could get him out. And you may have situations like that where there is no man to help. And I think this is kind of cool, because when we look at Mary, go back to look at Mary in the Bible, she said, how is this going to happen to me? How's this great miracle of me having this impregnation, how's this going to happen to me without a man? She's looking to a man. She's thinking, I can't have this miracle unless it comes through a man. And the angel told her the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Basically, you don't need a man. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you. How are you going to get your miracle? Is it going to come through a man? It is not. It is going to come through your Father. It's going to come through God if I get out of the jam. It's going to come through God if I get healed. It's going to come through God if I get a miracle of provision or whatever it is that I need. And I love that the Holy Spirit, you know, I used to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. I seen so many manifestations. Some were right on point, and some were phony, false, fake fire. And some of them were quite frankly scary. Scary. I mean, have you ever been in I've been places. I've seen things. I've looked on the internet. I've seen some snake handling church. I've seen a lot of false fire in my day. I've seen a lot of shenanigans in the name of the Lord. And some of that frightened me and should have frightened me and should frighten us that we would ever be succumb to such things. I love something that my amazing brother says all the time. If it's not real, I don't want it. I don't want fake fruit. I don't want fake vegetables. I don't want things that are genetically altered food. I don't. I want real. I want it from God. And that's how everything should be in our lives. But I need the Holy Spirit all the same. I need his power. But something I understand about the Holy Spirit now is that the Holy Spirit is power and love. If you have power without love, you've got nothing. There are plenty of people in the world that are powerful, and they're mean, and they're wicked, and they're cruel because they don't have love. And if you have love, but you have no power, there's nothing that can be done. The Holy Spirit is love and power, and he is so gentle, and he is so kind, so gentle that you can even hurt his feelings if you're not careful. But I just love that he is God of the impossible. And what God will do once, he will do for me again. He will help me. He will give me hope. He will fulfill all the plans that God has for me. And a lot of people think that God won't help them because they don't deserve it. The devil's going to tell you God will not help you because you don't deserve it. That is half right. That's why people believe that. Did you know? Because that's a half truth. The truth is, you don't deserve it. He is right. It's a half truth, but equals a whole lie. You don't deserve it, but God will do it anyway. And that's what I love about God. I didn't deserve anything God did for me. You don't deserve one thing that God did. And I can prove it to you, Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, no, not me, no, not you. We are not saved by works. It is by faith in Jesus and the cross. It is through the blood that we can come boldly to the throne of God by grace and grace alone. Thank you, God, for the mercy of the cross. We've made wrong decisions on repeat, just like the Israelites. But with God's help, we can turn things around. And God is a God of second chances, and I think that's what I really want to hit today. Not just that God will heal you again, not just that God will rescue you again, but that God will give you another opportunity again if you blew through the first 20 that he gave you. I want to talk 2 seconds about Jonah. I want to read to you my favorite verse from the book of Jonah. And I put my name there so many times. Jonah 3:1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah again, a second time. How about this if I said, and the word of the Lord came to Frida again, a second time. God is offering us another chance, another opportunity. And Jonah, I mean, when he blew through it, he blew through it. He didn't even consider doing what God asked him to do, commanded him to do. And he was, by the way, a prophet of God at the time that he received this calling. So, and it's like God would come to me and say, you're a pastor, so I'm going to send you to go preach to some sinners over here. Not going to happen, God. I'm going to stay right here at this church where the people are all good and shiny. And you ain't sending me over there to them people. They be bad people. And I'm a good person. I don't want to go, but you feel free to send someone else. And I go, not only am I not going to go, I'm going to go someplace else. I'm going to go to some other people, some even shinier people, and, do that. He went in the opposite direction, and God called him again a second time. But that takes repentance. Naomi, great story, left Bethel, lost everything. We don't know how they came to that decision, but we do know, like I said, there were 3 graves in the yard. There was nothing in Moab. And I think one of my favorite things when I'm teaching the story of Naomi and Ruth is to explain why to people, why that these 3 men died. First of all, they were out of the will of God. When you're not where you're supposed to be, you're where you're not supposed to be. They were supposed to be in Bethel in their home church on Sunday morning with the hometown people. They were supposed to be worshiping God, even though there was a famine and they were having hard times, but they quit church and they even moved far away. How many people do that? We quit church and now we're going to move far as we can get away. So they are now in Moab, the place God calls his washpot, the place God calls filthy water. Filthy water. So they're drinking poison water over there. That makes sense to me, right? You're drinking out of the wrong well spiritually. Sometimes that's why we get sick. We're drinking out of the wrong well. We're not hearing the word of God. We're on the internet. We're doing other things. And so here they are, and there's 3 deaths there, and there was no chance, as I studied this out, that these 3 men would ever be healed in Moab. Do you know why? There is no healing in Moab. Be outside the will of God and apart from God, there is no healing going to flow. All 3 of those men died because they were in a land of idol worship away from God. What a lesson for each and every one of us. But there was Naomi. Boy, isn't it great when we got prodigal sons who come to their senses? Isn't it great when we got women who say, I'm ready to go home. I am ready to go back to God. I am going back to Bethel, and I don't care what happens there. They may not take me back in. They may reject me, which is not what the church should do because Bethel represents the church. And they were a good church. They took her right back in. But here it is. He has to turn it again. We have to decide to make a decision. God, I need you to turn my life around. I need forgiveness again. I need to repent again. Naomi had to come home, and she was sorrowful. The same thing with the prodigal son. He came home repentant. And that's how we have to come to Jesus. God, I've blown it again, and I need you again and again and again. I want to read to you a scripture in Malachi 3:7. It's not about tithing. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. It doesn't say God's going to return to you. And why doesn't it say that God will come back to you? Because God never left you. You're the one has to return. I am the one has to return for God to do a miracle. But sometimes it takes forgiveness, and sometimes we think that we've done things over and over. How many of you have done things that maybe there are strongholds in your life, and you're like, I did it again. I said I wasn't going to do that. I did it again. I had a bad attitude again. I had anger again. I lied again. I did this again and again. Let me give you some hope, too. And I'm going to give it to you out of Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came to Jesus. And he asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. I like Peter. He's just so funny. He's like, Lord, may I suggest seven times? May I suggest? How many times, Lord? Either ask God, but don't tell God. But he's asking God, how many times? I suggest seven. And Jesus, up to seven times. Maybe not seven even. Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. We're talking about a day here. Here's the thing. Let me tell you about when you tell me that you don't think God can forgive you again. Jesus told Peter that we, that's all of us, are required to forgive up to 77 times a day, which means endless. Do you think Jesus would tell you to do something that he is unwilling to do? No. He's not going to require that you forgive, that me and Frida forgive each other 77 times and more a day. And then Jesus, when I come to him, is like, no, remember what? No, Jesus will do the same thing and then some. How gracious he is. Now, this doesn't mean this. This means if I fall and fail, that Jesus will forgive me because the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Does this give me the green light to sin? No, it does not. This is not my reason to sin. This is my reason and purpose to live for Christ and to do the very best that I can. But still, I remain thankful for God's mercy and that he will get me out of a mess and make a message out of it. He will, if I go through a trial, I'm going to triumph. If I go through a test, it's going to become a testimony. We should not ever be tempted when we sin to believe the lie of the devil that he won't, that God won't take us back, that God won't forgive us. God will. He will turn again our captivity. And why will he turn our captivity? Because he wants us to live a blessed life, but that's not really it. That's only part of it. The reason God will turn your captivity again is so that you can then go and get someone else out of captivity. That's what we're to do. That's what, when God forgives us, it has now become our responsibility, having received the gift of forgiveness, to offer the gift of forgiveness. Having received healing, to offer the gift of healing. May I lay hands on you. May I pray for you. Everything that God does for us, he requires that we do for others. And God will turn things around for us. And, you know, we don't have to be perfect. I think a great example in the Bible is King David. He was a man after God's heart. He did so much for God. And, I mean, he is known as Israel's greatest king, Israel's second and great and greatest king. But we see what he did. He took another man's wife. Not only did he take another man's wife, he took another man's life. He took his wife and his life. Who does that? King David, the king that was after God's own heart, the king that wrote your Psalms in the Bible, most of you, not all, but most of your Psalms in the Bible. And yet God forgave him. And can God use someone after they do such a thing? Yes, God used him yet again. God blessed him yet again. And you don't need to ever let the devil tell you that God can't use you because you were an addict and you kept going back into that, that you were a thief, a liar, a sinner. I've always said, can God use liars, sinners, thieves? Can he use addicts? And I always answer that question with, we better hope so, because he doesn't have any other kind of people to use. We are all sinners saved by grace and grace alone. And, you know, I think of how many times we face things. We face hard things. We face things that seem so impossible. And I'm going to go real quickly and go to the story of the Red Sea. God had delivered his people, and now they stand at the Red Sea, you know, with the mountains on every side and the Red Sea before them and the armies behind them. It's a great, 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 exciting story. And we see how God parted the Red Sea as they left captivity and the enemy pursued them. But here's the thing. They needed, before they got into the promised land, many people don't even talk about this. There are four times that God parted waters in the Bible and had them stand up on their end. And so they needed this miracle of the parting of the waters going through on dry ground, the impossible. They needed that done as they were leaving captivity in order to leave and get free. And they also needed it as they were coming into Canaan, they faced the Jordan. And once again, as the priest's feet touched the ground, the water stood up again and parted. I'm telling you, the God will part the waters for you today. Whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance, whatever you need from God, if he did it last year or the year before, he'll do it again. He'll forgive you. He'll rescue you. He'll help you. He'll help you again with the rent. He'll help you again in your relationship. He will forgive you, even though you've blown it for the 100th time. I encourage you not to give up. I encourage you today to believe for miracles. God's got a miracle, a Red Sea miracle with your name on it. He will part the waters so you have clear access, so you can walk through. He'll assign angels around you. You don't call on angels. That's God's business. But he'll assign angels to encamp around you. And he himself will go before you, behind you, on each side of you. He'll uphold you in time of trouble, strengthen you when you're at your weakest, when you're at your lowest, when you're hurting, when you're broken. He's near the brokenhearted. But we need to understand that God will do it again. God will do it again. You don't have to back down. There should be no shame in your game to go to God and say, I blew it again. God, you got to help me again. God, I need you again today. Yes, I know I needed you on Tuesday. Yes, I know I called on you on Wednesday. Yes, I know that Thursday was a rough day. But God, I'm here today on a Sunday. And I need you on a Sunday, God. It's hard on a Sunday. And come on, people say, oh, Sunday is my best day. No, not always. Sometimes you fight in the car on the way to church. Sometimes when you get out of church, you're hungry, you're hangry, you need something to eat, and your blood sugar levels are dropping, and you aren't pretty. But we need God. We need him. We need to worship him and praise him for all he's done. I think it takes thankfulness. I think that we need to remember who God is, that God is always who he says he is. He is always forgiveness. He will always forgive us. He will always help us. He will always put hope in our hearts. And if you tell me that God is not speaking to you, it's because you're not listening to God. It's because we've hardened our hearts in a way and said, life is so hard, God. I'm not listening. I'm not able to hear from you. But God is speaking. He's calling your name today and saying, I will do it, and I will do it for you. I am no respecter of persons. You're not the least of the least. God loves you so much, more than you could ever possibly imagine, and he's going to do the miracle. And I know, I don't even have to ask if you need a miracle. I know you do. I know there is some area in your life. I know there is some situation in your life that you say, I need help from God. This is too big for me. This is too hard for me. I can't do this again, God. I don't know if I can take a step again. I don't know if I can lose someone else again. And God is like, let me help you. Let me help you. Come to the altar. come to the altar of the Lord and just tell him what I need. This is what I need, God, and I know that you are faithful. I know that you are faithful. I know that you'll do it again. I see it in your word, but more than that, I see it in my life. I see that God has rescued me many, many times. It is a miracle when you think about it that you came to God, that you got saved, and that you have stayed the course. Because I know the stories that are represented here. There are so many hard stories that are represented in a group like this. You have been through, and I have heard it on the other end of the line, such hard stuff. And yet still, we are in the house of the Lord. Why? Because God did it again. Because God got me up again. Because the sun in the morning, it rose again. And I'm not turning back, and you're not turning back. I'm going to worship through the pain. You're going to read the word. I remember Sandra's testimony. She gave a testimony this last Monday night, and she shared during the time that she went through the emotional and physical struggle. And she told our church on Monday night, she said, I started reading the word, and there are marks of the tears on my Bible where I read during that time. And if that has to be us, like Debbie, going through what Debbie went through, so be it. So be it. If we have to have Bibles that are tear-stained, he will bottle every tear. We're gonna stand it and worship together. If the praise team would come, and or Pastor Ken, whomever, you guys make some decisions here. to play so that we can worship, so that we can thank the God who turned our captivity again. And not only did this, I'm closing with this. When the Lord turned again, it's not if, when he did it. Yes, he's already done it. But as you continue on the second phrase of this, it says, their cry goes out to God again. Turn again. They are asking God in this psalm to do it again, God. And if you need to ask God to do it again, just step out and come to this altar and say, God, this is big. I need your help. Let's stand. Father, we thank you, Jesus. Father, we just take a time to worship. You've done things for us again and again and again and again and again. And Father, now we just ask, as we stand here today, to do it yet again, Father God. Forgive us again. Father God, help us again. Turn our situation around again, Father. Lord, we need you again, again, and again, Father God. Father, you said that weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Father God, we're going to serve you if we have to cry, if we have to scream, if we have to pound walls. The name we're going to call is the name of the Lord, Father God. Father, we're not going to set up a golden calf, Father God. We're going to set up a cross. It's our standard. It's our banner. Father God, we come to the cross today. And Father God, one more time, we're asking for that miracle that we need. Father God, I'm asking for healings for your people, Father God. Father, as we take a step of faith, heal us, Father God. Some of us need healing, serious healing. Father, we're asking today because we know that you're answering today. Father, we thank you. Father, bless us. Father God, bless us, Father God. You're the rewarder, Father God. Father God, you helped us, Father God. We acknowledge you and we're thankful, Father God, and we repent that we haven't been as thankful as we should be. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Thank you, God, for parting the Red Sea. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. One more time, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you need a miracle, just believe. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Lord, we love you. Father God, we don't want false fire. We just want you. We just want you, Jesus. Father God, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Father, as we worship you and praise you, we give you honor, Father God. It is due to you. Father God, we won't be caught up like Israel as the complainers, Father God. We're not going to murmur against you, Father God. We're not going to set up images, Father God. We're going to press forward, Father God. We're going to walk it through the Red Sea, Father God. We're going to walk it through the Jordan, Father God, all the way, Father God, to victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.